The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
Can we talk something else? Can we talk about something else?
Hello. Out there. Every single one of us wants to be better. We spend a lot of time thinking about it, planning ways to attack the issue of our issues. Sometimes we start on it, rarely do we finish, but being back to the drawing board isn't the worst place to be. It's actually maybe the best, because at the drawing board, anything is possible. There's hope there. Endless possibilities. I can think of nothing worse than going back to the drawing board and finding myself to be out of chalk, out of ideas, excuses, really. Then what? Well, for some that's rock bottom and the point where all plans go out the window. Doing becomes a necessary thing, not a choice. For others, all plans go out the window along with themselves. And sometimes, their ex. Welcome to Dark Topic. I'm your host, Jack Luna. This is a true crime happening. Kill Amy. Amy Nicole Harwick was born May 20th, 1981, in Sellersville, Pennsylvania. Amy was adopted by Tom and Penny Harwick and raised 20 miles outside of Philadelphia in Lansdale, PA. She seemed to enjoy a stable upbringing from what I could tell, though any child who eventually learns of being given up at birth will no doubt experience some disturbance. Amy, self-admittedly, would later experience some difficulty in detaching herself from relationships, even those that were toxic. Of course, this is not an unusual trait, just something that in Amy's case would bite and hold her back from time to time. Amy managed to always break free and flourish regardless. She was described as a creative, intelligent, and beautiful child who would become even more so throughout life. She was driven and ambitious from the start. Nobody doubted Amy when her dream of one day moving to LA began floating around her. It seemed she could and would achieve anything she set her mind to. Amy wanted a big life and knew that sticking around a hometown too long was a trap. When she finished high school in 1999, it almost got her, when she decided to marry her boyfriend, a guy who was in a metal band and introduced her to a subculture she fell in love with, more than him, even. Amy was soon divorced and quickly made her way to California before it was too late. Her escape to LA was something out of the movies. Small town, pretty girl next door type goes rogue. Amy's creative and personal interests now swung to the darker side. She was suddenly obsessed with the subject of serial killers, true crime, the psychology behind all of the horror. She developed a taste for art and music, more on the disturbing side. And let me quickly get this all clear. Amy was the type of girl to eventually purchase the bra that Sharon Tate was wearing when the Manson family murdered her. Speaking of Manson, she briefly dated Marilyn Manson. One of my exes did the same, actually, though I don't know if you'd call that dated. Anyways, all of this is none of my business. Amy was enigmatic, studying hard for doctorates by day, breathing fire in burlesque shows at the Playboy Mansion by night. But back quickly to that murderabilia fascination of hers. Amy, she was just like all of us who find true crime so fascinating. Though Amy, I believe, was in the top 1% of true crime aficionados, and yes, she would come to be a true crime podcasting fan. That is, of course, before she became the subject of one.
I was really interested in the serial killer stuff and all the macabre things. I mean, as an adolescent, like I would walk around with like true crime because I was always interested in human behavior.
Amy's adoptive parents supported her the whole way. It was easy to get behind the girl who now seemed unstoppable, picking up modeling work, becoming a go-go dancer, and even appearing in Playboy-related shoots. Her aesthetic was Kat Von D-esque. Jet black hair, porcelain skin, red lips, a wicked smile, and sense of humor. Amy initially thrived under the alias of Nicolette Novak, building a network of contacts in the Hollywood scene that would come in handy once she finished what she was truly working towards, a bachelor's degree in psychology from California State Polytechnic University, a master's degree in clinical psychology, and a doctorate in human sexuality. Amy secured all of these academic achievements while working nights doing bartending and dancing, managing to keep up with her modeling and even some work as a fitness trainer, making videos. All of this would culminate in her master plan for eventually becoming a well-known Hollywood sex therapist. Amy would focus her therapy work on relationships, trauma, and sexuality. She also became an advocate for sex-positive therapy and destigmatizing discussions around sexual health. Dr. Amy Harwick opened her own family and relationship clinic in West Hollywood, wrote and published a book, The New Sex Bible for Women, in 2014. And, of note, she eventually became engaged to Drew Carey for a while in 2018. Their first date was at Disney. The two eventually decided to amicably part ways. Amy appeared on The Price is Right, not as a contestant, but as the apple of Drew's eye, this on Valentine's Day of 2018. Eventually, they broke up because they had different communication styles, she said. But the whole way, another eye was watching. Furiously, Amy began receiving strange phone calls around the time of her engagement to Drew Carey. She began seeing weird statements about her on public message boards, dragging her down as a reputable doctor of sex. It's thought that she, in part, shrunk from Drew Carey and the public eye because of harassment from a stalker, and her concerns for both Drew, herself, her reputation, and career were reasons for her splitting with Drew Carey. Staying on a positive note, struggling to hold it, I am. The song of Amy Harwick is long, bright and bold, but on the positive, I'm unfortunately running out of breath. She was involved with the nonprofit organization Pineapple Support, which provides mental health services for women, men too, past and presently involved in the adult film industry. Amy was truly something else. Everybody thought so, especially this ex-boyfriend, the stalker, who had been following her career closely after their breakup in 2011, that progressed to a restraining order that by this time in the story, 2020 had long ago expired, as had Amy's concerns, though recently they'd ramped up when Gareth Pursehouse started popping back into her life, seemingly by chance. Of course, Amy knew better. Unfortunately, despite an extensive knowledge of true crime and being armed with education that should have given her an extreme advantage over characters like Pursehouse, her kind, forgiving nature got the best of her. The best of her got the best of her. Interesting. But of course, what really got her was her obsessive ex-boyfriend. Gareth Pursehouse, a tall, dark, handsome man who could have easily been cast as a sexy vampire in a low-budget porno, and in fact was employed as a photographer on porn sets from time to time, was probably more Amy's physical type than, say, Drew Carey. But let's not be mean about it. Drew Carey was smart, funny, kind, and deeply connected in Hollywood, all traits Gareth Pursehouse seemed to lack. Together, Amy may have had the perfect man. Apart, she just had Drew Carey and a stalker, not to be mean or anything. The stalker, Gareth Pursehouse, wasn't just an ex-boyfriend who couldn't quite move on. According to court filings and statements later given by friends, Gareth had been controlling, demeaning, and violent towards Amy when they were together, living together for a time back around 2010. The relationship ended after Amy, who struggled at times with abandonment issues, finally decided she'd had enough. Breaking up is hard to do, but it gets easier when the other person is literally breaking you in the process. Pursehouse had beaten her. At one point, he tried to silence her screams by clamping a hand over her mouth until she nearly suffocated. During another incident, he allegedly threw her from a moving vehicle. Amy eventually obtained a restraining order against Pursehouse after his behavior became increasingly erratic and frightening. Allegations that included harassment, intimidation, and the kind of obsessive persistence that makes a woman start looking over her shoulder. There were many disturbing incidents. One involved Amy returning home to find her laptop completely wiped. Friends would later say that throughout the 2010s, Gareth seemed to hover around the edges of her life. Heavy breathing, hang-up calls, slow drives past her home late at night, anonymous derogatory comments left on social media, and even suspected break-ins at residences she lived in after their breakup in 2011. By 2020, Pursehouse was still lamenting to friends and family about the relationship that had supposedly ruined his life. Gareth, a software developer, photographer, model, and aspiring comedian, was a joke to many. But he would be sure to get the last laugh, even if, as always, he was the only one laughing. The restraining orders eventually expired, but people who knew the situation say the tension never really did. And like a lot of these stories, the warning signs were there long before the night everything truly broke up. Amy attended a Hollywood event in early 2020, one of the countless industry gatherings that happen every night in Los Angeles, the kind of place where people mingle, drink shitty wine, exchange business cards, and pretend the whole city isn't built almost entirely on rejection. Smiling plastic people shaking hands, delicately hugging one another as if they might break the fragile facade that everything is just fine. And speaking of pretending everything was just fine, Gareth Pursehouse happened to be at this event. He'd gained entry as a photographer. Whether the encounter that followed was coincidence or something a little more deliberate is still a matter of debate, but I'll go out on a limb and suggest that maybe Gareth was there because Amy was there. The two inevitably crossed paths, and Amy, being the sweetheart she couldn't help being, stopped to talk with Gareth. That's when Gareth began openly sobbing. Amy led him away from the crowd, trying to console him while also sparing both of them the embarrassment of the situation, and that's when Gareth dropped to his knees, begging her to take him back. Amy tried to navigate the moment. She was trained in these kinds of emotional crises after all, but this wasn't a client. This was a conniving ex-boyfriend who seemed determined to ruin her night. Gareth hit the floor like a toddler mid-tantrum, then began shouting that she had ruined his life. Nearly a decade after their relationship had ended, here she was, 37 years old, trying to console a 6'4", 40-year-old man at an event where she should have been networking and enjoying the fruits of her hard work. But for Gareth Pursehouse, the relationship had never really ended at all, you see. While Amy had spent the 2010s building a career, becoming a respected therapist, author, and advocate for sexual wellness, Gareth had spent much of that same decade circling the past, still talking about the breakout and how it had destroyed his life, and clinging to a version of Amy that existed only inside his own mind, a mind that somewhere along the way, much like Amy, had begun the arduous process of breaking away from Gareth as well. Valentine's Day, 2020. Amy wakes up on the last day of her life and goes for a morning stroll with her friend Cleopatra. They go out for breakfast and chat about a burlesque show they will perform in that evening. Amy is happy. She has come a long way from small-town Pennsylvania to living in the famed Hollywood Hills. Not in a sprawling mansion yet, but in a quiet canyon neighborhood populated by other young professionals. Her home, a multi-level hillside house, has a balcony off of her top-floor bedroom where she can look out over the city at night, like Juliet. If Romeo were hiding in the bushes, plotting to kill her. Amy has a housemaid who occupies a room on the lower floor. His name is Michael Herman. Herman and Amy were not romantically involved, though soon many would come to believe he harbored unrequited feelings for his stunning housemate. Gareth Pursehouse has spent the weeks leading up to Valentine's Day of 2020 planning something special. He knows exactly Amy's itinerary for that day. She will go for breakfast. She will go to work. She will come home to get slutted up for the burlesque show. His thoughts, not mine. She'll likely attend an after party, maybe bring home yet another man. Well, if she does, it'll just be one more patsy to put in play. Gareth breaks into Amy's Hollywood Hills home at around 9:30 p.m. He breaks in through the back door, smashes in a window, unlocks the door. The roommate downstairs, the cuck roommate, no doubt he thinks of him as, Michael, he hears something upstairs, figures that the cat knocked over a dish. Then he hears some walking around and figures that that's Amy come home and is cleaning up something that broke there. He doesn't go to check. Many believe that he's just scared. I'm one of them. Michael doesn't need to be killed, as was no doubt the plan, should he have intervened at any point, because he doesn't intervene. Gareth, wearing all black with a black cap, but with his face uncovered, heads upstairs to lay in wait for Amy. He has been captured on neighborhood surveillance cameras. In fact, he's already kind of caught because his face is clear on at least one camera that he approached and tampered with before committing the break-in. All this goes to show that the forthcoming crime wasn't as meticulously planned as it's been reported. It was planned, but it seems the cameras kind of snuck up on him. It looks like he thought he could return the favor of these cameras sneaking up on him by walking up on them sideways before clumsily unplugging them. But, of course, unplugging a surveillance camera doesn't erase your face looming in front of it in the moments before transmission is interrupted. Gareth, you fucking idiot. Now, I planned on this being a scary episode, because it is. It really should be. But the idea of Gareth then waiting for the next 4 hours in Amy's third floor bedroom is so Gareth. So clumsy. So pathetic. What was he doing in that time? He couldn't have been thinking, because if he had been, Gareth Pursehouse might have taken the syringe of liquid nicotine he had in his pocket, slammed it in his neck, then sat on the lip of the balcony waiting to topple over, either to his death on the pavement 3 stories below or to his eventual overdose on the balcony proper, where he could have been discovered by Amy and have a proper end to his obsessive desire for her. Go out like a kind of a man. But no, Gareth isn't a man. Gareth is in love. He's actually not in love. He's enraged. How dare she leave me? How dare she move on? How dare she succeed while I fail over and over? This is payback that Pursehouse has been pursuing for nearly a decade. The cost doesn't matter. He'll put anything down. His life, Amy's, to make the hurting stop. And when Amy finally enters the house and puts her own purse down, Gareth turns out the lights in the bedroom upstairs, then, like a child, giddily looks for a safe place to hide. Oh, I know. Under the blankets. Mood, everybody. Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they have found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever the type of buzz you want. I'm talking once again about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies. And you can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code DARKTOPIC. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. I'm a big fan of their Sexual Euphoria Advanced Gummies. I take them by myself. I like the 15 milligram Sexual Euphoria Advanced THC gummies. They make me go from G-Wiz to Cheese Whiz in 15 minutes flat. Probably just lost the ad there. But I'm telling you, 5-15 minutes, you're ready to go. Going to the bathroom. Because I'm not involving my girl in this situation. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code DARKTOPIC. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code DARKTOPIC when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try today at mood.com. Amy shoots off a few texts to friends before heading upstairs to shower and undress. It's just after 1 a.m. She has plans for a vacation, plans for work, plans for play. She is in her prime, which will keep her alive a lot longer than many would have lasted in the situation she walks into next, a situation she has read about, learned of through crime documentaries and podcasts, studied, really. But like all of us, she was never really ready to face a situation like this head on out of nowhere. She is dressed in a tight black skirt. Around her neck hangs a crucifix and a rosary. When she turns on the light to her bedroom, the form in her bed rises like a ghost. Amy screams, then fights the sheet off. She fights like hell after it rushes her. She's not ready yet to become a ghost herself, it seems. The rosary around her throat is ripped and beads fly everywhere. The commotion wakes up Michael downstairs. He gets up in his underwear and his little t-shirt and tentatively calls out up the stairs, "Amy!" When the violence becomes evident, her being smashed around the room and screaming for help, Michael maybe runs on the spot a moment as if he has to pee or his hair's on fire. Then he decides to go running for help. Meanwhile, after nearly 10 minutes of struggling, Gareth gives up on the nicotine needle. He'd hoped to stick her with it and pose this as a suicide or something. Concentrated nicotine can be very fatal, but so can fighting with a hellcat like Amy, it turns out. Gareth finally beats Amy to the ground, strangles her half to death, then drags her to the balcony and tosses her off of it. He then escapes the house, being caught one more time in surveillance for good measure. It looks like he's putting on his shoes when he goes running from the house. The roommate, Michael, manages to get help after climbing a few fences. He cuts himself up quite a bit in the process. He bangs on doors. No one wants to answer. No one wants to answer a door being banged on in the Hollywood Hills at 1 a.m., it seems. A lot of actors out there. I'm going to play you a clip, a 911 call clip from Michael. I want to help Michael out here a bit. The guy gets ridiculed for not helping Amy, but he's just a little guy. Gareth is huge. He no doubt would have killed them both. He's 6'4". He's built. And Gareth fucking would destroy him. Amy had a better shot. Here's Michael giving a 911 call dispatcher shit for the police not showing up quick enough. He made multiple. This is the one where he shows a bit of balls. So it's a tough call to hear, but basically he's like, "Where the fuck are you guys? I've been outside of her window screaming for her, seeing if she's in there." And the dispatcher's like, "Are you still at the same scene where you called the first time?" He's like, "Yeah, I'm fucking here. Like, where are you? Somebody just tossed my roommate at a window and I'm out here trying in my underwear trying to figure this shit out. Where the fuck are you guys?" I mean, they're on their way, sir. I think the real question a lot of people have is, where the fuck were you, Mike? Well, and again, in his defense, he was running for help. So, I mean, I'm going to go on the side of defending Michael here. I want to make fun of him, but I can't because I've never been in that spot. I have. but I also ran for help. So, I mean, I was also a very little kid. I was 5 years old. This guy's like almost 40 years old. If you hear your roommate getting killed upstairs and you're the guy and she's the girl and she's got this obsessive ex-boyfriend, maybe go grab a knife and go upstairs. I don't know. He said he couldn't find his phone when it called from the house. I was thinking that as well, but I mean, he's in a panic. I mean, earlier the cat knocked over a dish. Oh God, don't even start. But it's I want to stick up for Michael here. When I see him, he's in court and all that later, and he's shaking. He's a sweet guy. That's probably why she was with him too, like as roommates. He wasn't a threat or anything. And it makes sense he would go around. At least he went and tried. He could have just stayed in the basement. How about that? He could have just hid under his bed in the basement. But he went upstairs. He called out, was like, oh shit, that doesn't sound good, and ran. He cut himself a bunch of times climbing fences. And now he's smoking a cigarette, giving a 911 call operator shit for the cops not showing up quick enough. You know what, Mike? I think you're all right. But when police arrive, finally, that unfairly disgraced roommate in Michael has found Amy lying in a pool of blood out back of the house. He has his own blood on him from climbing fences. Some sources say that he has her blood on him from like grabbing her and trying to pick her up and stuff. Amy's laying there still breathing, but dying. His prints are all over her body, some sources say. I don't believe so. I saw some footage where he's kind of running back and forth in front of her and be like, oh my God, Amy, are you okay? If he had been hugging on her and trying to help her, he would know that she's not. So I tend to believe that the blood that's on him is his own from jumping fences. And when the police come around the back of the house and find Amy laying there, broken from being thrown from the fucking third floor balcony after being strangled and beaten up, that's the first time that Michael has seen her. Just to fucking kind of clear some of that up. But he doesn't sound like a coward to me, does Michael? You know who else doesn't? Amy. Amy fought to the last fucking moment of her life. And now she's laying here shaking towards death. She will die at hospital from her injuries a couple of hours later. But at least she had Michael out front calling 911 for her. I originally had that she had Michael there with her, but I don't believe so now. I tried, Mike. I fucking tried. I tried harder than you did. No, I'm just kidding. Michael is, of course, the main suspect initially, but once the story of Purse House and his obsession with Amy comes to light, not to mention the security footage, Michael is cleared and Purse House soon arrested after a chase over a fence at the back of his Playa del Rey home comes to an end with the killer being tased a bunch of times and then being handcuffed. In 2023, Gareth Pursehouse was found guilty of murder and burglary. The jury determined the killing was premeditated. The sentence was life in prison without the possibility of parole. Gareth Pursehouse first came to my attention when he appeared on Kill Tony in late January of 2020. I remember Gareth Pursehouse because he was a truly terrible comedian, not even a funny guy when interviewed, though they had fun with him. And I should explain Kill Tony a bit. Kill Tony is a long-running open mic-style comedy show on YouTube, and these days Netflix, where pure entertainment, indie podcasting, grassroots comedy goes to die, or at the very least, to get polished off. But Kill Tony, my favorite show still, becoming less so of my favorite show these days, but I've never missed an episode. And I'm talking back. I'm talking, what is there, 750 episodes or something? I've seen them all. Out of the hundreds of episodes I've watched, giving a once-in-a-lifetime shot to thousands of people, wannabe comedians, I do remember Pursehouse, or Gareth, as he prefers when he comes on stage, because he lacked the major component of any good comedian, or person for that matter, self-awareness. When things got bad for Pursehouse, he never adjusted. When he got booed on stage and the audience rolled their eyes at him, he couldn't fathom that it was him. It had to be the audience. It must be that they don't get him. No, Gareth, they get you. That's the problem. You want to hear a joke? Here's Gareth telling one on his social media on Facebook, I believe, while trying to get into comedy.
Game of Thrones, first season, the brother and sister are up in the castle, and then the kid sees him through the window, and the brother has to go and throw the kid off and to kill him. And even though it's evil, I feel kind of bad for the brother, because even though he doesn't want to do it, his sister insisted.
Evil laugh. Yeah, you're a bad boy, Gareth. Oh, man. That shit's... ugh, that's testy. Don't get canceled, Gareth. So he ends up being on Kill Tony, And I'm going to play a clip from that appearance on Kill Tony. This was a self-imposed public humiliation on Kill Tony. Number 431, recorded January 20th of 2020 at the Comedy Store in Los Angeles, California, and released on YouTube a week later. Gareth Pursehouse, in his appearance, eerily mentions an ex. Not even 3 weeks after this episode aired, Valentine's Day of 2020, that ex, Amy Hardwick, would be dead after being thrown off a balcony. A little callback there to his initial joke that I played for you from his Facebook account. There's a lot going on here. There's levels to this comedy shit, you know, callbacks, fucking setups, and he's got it all. Check him out.
One more time for Gareth, everybody. Come on.
Hello, everybody. All right. Let me spin around this. There we go. Well, thank you very much. It's great to be here in all the best parts of entertainment. We've got most of a band. We've got morning radio sound effects. Sometimes a full band when a toy kazoo comes from the ground, raises from the grave, takes over Tony and starts singing. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful time. I think he froze. So back to popular... So over the summer, Trump yanked all the troops out of Syria, right? And then ISIS got loose. They're knocking on doors, running away or something like that. I don't know really how it works. And I thought he should have asked Tony that it's a bad idea because he has broke the bank relying on the pullout method. Quickest coming comedian in comedy? anyway, so I have bad news for the people, for the entertainers over there. No, okay. I have bad news for the entertainers over there. The best day of your career is going to be the days after you die. When, like, paintings skyrocket in price. Can I continue? Can I? It's close. It's,
go ahead, okay. Gareth. Go ahead.
The paintings skyrocket in price. Redbox starts holding some movie from 1962. But what about the porn talent? What happens with them? Is it just Red Band at Home singing, "She was so underappreciated in her time"?
All right. All right. There you go, Gareth. You did it. Doing the age-old broken method of trying to roast the people that the audience is here to see. That's good. How do you feel, Gareth?
Shaky.
Shaky? Yeah. Is this your first time on a stage?
On a real stage, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. What other kind of stage have
like
you been on?
Like when there's like five comedians.
That I wish it was stage four.
Gareth. So you tried to do jokes about us, and that never
really
worked.
It wasn't
my
original plan. I was just writing normal jokes, and then I kept twisting easily into just stupid roasts, and I figured you guys are roast people, so I thought I'd try it out.
How did it go?
I don't know. Doesn't sound like good.
No. No, it doesn't, Gareth. No, it doesn't. So you just started stand-up comedy?
I've been writing a lot for about 2 or 3 years, but I've barely ever tried to get on actual stage.
When you say barely ever, what do you mean? You've done a couple open mics, or this
just
is your
like
first?
Or it's like a couple comedians that tried themselves like a year ago, but other than that, nothing.
How come? Because it went
busy,
like that?
Yeah. No. I'd say a mix of the good and bad on the other ones. But
right. What do you do for work?
Software engineer.
Uh-huh. And how old are you?
They're 41.
Yeah. What do you do? What are your hobbies? What are things about you in your real
things
life?
I like to build stuff. Like, I'm a work with my hands kind of guy, or projects. Always trying to think of like a cool invention, that kind of thing. Or traveling.
What have you come up with? What are some of your inventions?
Nothing successful. Right now, I'm trying to figure out
how to have the worst Kill Tony set ever.
If you build it,
I miss
the horse of truth has arrived.
Like right now, I'm trying to figure out a water conservation. Project.
Let me tell you something. There's no way you're going to be that guy.
No?
You're not going to. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, just give up on that.
Yeah.
You're right.
No.
Get a filter for your washer or, you know, your shower head so you don't use as much water. That's about it.
There you go. Red Band just solved it, everybody.
That's exactly how it works.
Use less water.
Mm-hmm. Why are you a one-name comedian?
Oh, my last name's long, so I just didn't bother.
Okay.
My last name's Pursehouse. It's too long to write.
What is it?
Pursehouse.
Purse House?
Wow. Too long to write, huh?
It's two words we all know.
Wow.
It sounds like a drag club.
A drag club.
Purse House. So that's interesting. You have a girlfriend?
No, but I'm here with a way too hot date.
Oh, wow.
Don't tell
Not anymore.
She's gone.
That's fun. Gareth, so how do you get a chick that's way too hot for you? How does that work out?
Luck.
Luck?
Yeah.
Do you just have, you only have your height on your dating profile?
Yeah, that's it. Just
everything else, it starts to drop off fast.
I mean, you're handsome.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
Good looking guy.
Yeah. It's helpful.
Yeah, in a retarded team leader at Target kind of way.
Fucking looks like if Clark Kent went into a phone booth just to call his grandmother.
I have Superman for Halloween a couple times.
Yeah. Duh.
And that's exactly what I get every time. Like, no shit.
Oh, shut up.
Gareth. The whole unit gets defensive when people take shots with their 60 seconds.
Yeah, no, I like what you guys do. I just thought it'd be fun, but...
You're a fan of the show? You ever watch it or listen
to
it?
Yeah, I've come here a couple times, but of course I cut up here the date I have.
Like, give us an example of a joke you were going to say before we all lost respect for you.
I'd have to...
Just do one normal joke.
I don't have everything.
Your best joke.
My best... Yeah, I don't have stuff memorized.
Come on. You have one fucking joke that doesn't have to do with me or Red Band or whatever you did.
I had one today where I've been told by... I was talking to an ex from a long time ago, and she told me that before...
Talking to a what?
I was talking to an ex.
Uh-huh.
And she told me that when we first met, she thought I had... she thought my personality meant I had a small dick. And then I talked to another ex, and she told me the same exact thing. And I just want to make it perfectly clear right now that my dick size is private.
Wow.
What a wild swing you took on... Don't boo him.
I don't have any memory. Yeah.
What a wild swing you took bringing up hot date for the first time to this. Just like, I hope I'm any good at stand-up comedy.
She's a real hot date now because she just lit herself on fire in the corner there. I can see. The hottest date, dude.
Well, I'm really glad you came up here because I didn't think it was possible for me to hate a man as much as I hate my husband.
Well, Gareth, you know, you gave it a shot. I would love to see you come back sometime if this is something that you actually think that you might enjoy doing when it goes well.
Yeah, I write literally constantly. I just don't memorize it.
Right.
I'm pretty sure the first kid to use the phrase, "I'm way to go, Einstein," was a bully on the playground.
Way to go, Einstein.
Yeah,
he's a bully on the
joke.
Playground. But why? Why would that bully?
A bully on the playground in 1880. So like,
okay, so that makes that's so important to the joke.
Yeah, it didn't work.
I mean, I don't think it would have made it work, but it would have made it make sense.
Yeah.
I would say that joke is 2% there.
Hey, milkman. All right, there goes Gareth, everybody. We're going to keep moving. There goes Gareth. There we go. You gotta be careful up here, people. You gotta be careful. This is not a game. This is not a joke.
I want to see his date so bad.
Let's hope he hangs himself so we can say, way to go, Epstein.
Yeah. Where's he going, dude? You leaving your hot date? He just shit his pants up here. Yeah. He's going to the restroom.
No, that's a fucking talent agent from CAA who just signed him. Congratulations, Garrett.
Wow.
Incredible.
Wow.
Dreams do come true here at Kill Tony.
It's that easy.
That was about as rough as it gets. A stone cold assassin is what host Tony Hinchcliffe sometimes calls an excellent comic. Gareth didn't earn that distinction that night, but he'd chase it down, grab it anyways. He wasn't one to be denied. That being said, it probably goes without saying that perhaps when he couldn't kill Tony, Gareth Pursehouse did the next best thing, worst thing, kill Amy. Thank you for listening. For more Dark Topic, check out Dark Topic Plus, available on Patreon, Apple, and Spotify. Links in the show notes. I'm trying to come out every Thursday for you all. One of those will be Dark Topic Plus. So Dark Topic Thursdays, that's the plan. It's been the plan. I'm getting my life together here when it comes to everything. I'm getting older. I don't want to end up on a stage getting fucking eviscerated. I want this stage and I want it to be consistent. And I want you all to be expecting me to show up. And I do. Thursdays, DT Thursdays. I'll see you next Thursday. How about that? Until then, keep those eyes cut, those doors locked, and stay paranoid. Big love.